Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 35. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 35. The Bible says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized, withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began, to be much displeased with James and John." I want to look back this morning in verse number 35, and I want to look at this thought that James and John said, "Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire." If you look at that in its context this morning, it was almost to the sense that they looked at Jesus as almost they had control and that He was their servant. I want you to focus in this morning and Matthew, as we look at Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 20. The Bible teaches us that James and John's mother came to Christ and presented the same question that the boys did. I believe this morning this was a family affair, but can I say to you this morning, He is the master, He is the potter, and we are the clay. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we look at this approach, and you can flip back with me to the book of Matthew this morning for just a moment. In Matthew 20 and 20, the Bible says, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom." Might I say to you this morning, judging by Matthew and Mark, and the gospel here, as we see they have come to Christ, that there was a family discussion amongst the children and the mother. There was a discussion about the place where Christ was at. We see the approach of James and John's mother as she comes and she worships him, desiring something out of him. As we look in Mark, we see that the James and John come into Christ and they speak to him as though he is the servant and to give to us whatsoever we desire. I wonder this morning how many people in the churches across this country are coming to Christ, worshiping Him, simply to get something in return, or seeking Him simply for what He can do for me. Might I say to you this morning, we must understand that Jesus is the Master. He is the great I Am. He is the Son of God. And you and I are the servants. We are not the masters, but you and I are the servants. Can I say to you this morning, as we look in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, in verses 35 and verse 36, Jesus asked them a question. What would you that I should do for you? What is it that you want me to do? I wonder this morning, if Christ was to come through this morning, how many of you, Jesus would look to you and say, "What can I do for you?" Many of you are looking for something. You're looking for hope. You're looking for something to give you peace. You're looking for something that would bring joy into your life. And Christ knows the very desire of your heart and the thoughts and intents before you even know it. Honey, before you ever spoke it, He already knows what you stand in need of. And the Bible teaches us that He simply asked these men, "What is it that I can do for you?" The men respond back that one may sit on the right hand and the other on the left. Might I say to you this morning, if we look down in verse number 38, Jesus says this, "Ye know not what you ask." He says, you ain't got a clue what you're asking for. You don't have an understanding of what you're asking for. I really begin to think on this subject and begin to think about this, how many times we ask for something and we ain't even really thought about it. How many times we ask for something. It's like a story was once said. A gentleman prayed for patience. My mama said, don't you ever pray for patience. Brother Chuck said this gentleman prayed for patience. And a few months later said he was having financial troubles. His health had failed. And everything was going wrong. And it seemed like he was going down for the last count. And he said, God, why would you allow this to happen to me? The Bible says that we ask and receive not. Why? Because we ask amiss. Said this man had earnestly prayed and asked for patience, but yet he couldn't understand why God would let him go through those storms. It said that basically what had happened was God had answered his prayer. Can I say to you this morning, I'm thankful that God has not answered some of my prayers. I can tell you it's all honestly because I have no clue what I'm asking for. I used to say, preacher, what do you mean? It's like this. Sometimes I say, I'll take some more of that. And Brother Scott, I mean, I'll take just a little bit. But somebody will fill my plate up and say, there you go, preacher. Eat your heart out. I have no idea what I ask. Can I say this to you this morning? You and I are at a place in our life where our hearts are broken and we begin to pray, God, do this, God, do that, God, do help here, God, hear me here. And in reality, we don't have a clue what we're asking for. These men were asking for a position. They were asking simply for a title. They were asking for authority. They were asking to be put in a place in charge. And can I say to you this morning, I realize that moms and dads, you want your children to grow up and be successful. You want them to be financially stable. You want them to be in a place of power, a place of authority. Might I say to you this morning, is sometimes we as parents don't know what we're asking for our children.
Right.
Can I say this to you this morning? Our thought process ought to be, God, I pray for your will.
Amen.
God, your way, your direction, your heart. And you say, preacher, what do you mean? Jesus looked at James and John and said, you don't have a clue what you're asking for. Jesus told James and John's mother in the Gospel of Matthew had said that it wasn't for him to give. It was God the Father's place to appoint those. And notice this, they desired of him whatever we shall desire. I wonder this morning how many people sitting in Baptist churches is playing God like he's puppet on a string. God, if you'll answer this prayer, I'll do this. God, if you'll answer this prayer, I'll do that. God, if you'll hear me here, I'll do this. God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do that for you. Listen to me. I want to say this to you. If the only thing that God done was save your unworthy soul from dying and going to hell, He done more than you ever deserved. More than I ever deserved. Listen to me, God. Listen, God would still be holy and just. And Brother Rusty, if the only thing that God had done was save me, and He didn't even have to do that, but He would still be holy. He would still be God. He would still be the final authority if the only thing He done was save me.
Right.
Listen to me. I'm thankful this morning that God sent His only begotten Son that we could be born again. I'm thankful for that He sent Jesus, that He died on a wretched cross, only that we could have life and life more abundantly. Might I say to you this morning, I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams. People say, preacher, if I had $1 million, I'd do this. Preacher, if I had $1 million, I wouldn't be in debt. Preacher, if I won the lottery, I'd be set. No, you wouldn't. You know what happened? You'd blow every bit of it and still be in the hole.
Great.
Let's be honest. I mean, we're American people. We're here. The only person I know who is tight is James Cox. That boy is tight. I seen him open his wallet one day at the restaurant. Brittany made him buy supper. I seen him open it and I seen moss fly out of it. I'm teasing. Listen to me. You and I truthfully don't even know what makes ourselves happy. But can I say this to you this morning? We're to be happy with where we're at. Our attitude plays a part of it. I begin to look at this and I begin to think about what these young men were asking for. They were asking for a position of authority. They wanted to be someone who was known. They wanted to be someone who was recognized. They wanted to be somebody that was in control. I often hear this. People pray for a church. The pastor prays, "Boy, God, I pray you would send me 400. They don't really know what they're asking for. Listen to me. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Because when I was a young pastor and I come to Ron Baptist Tabernacle and they was 10 people, and then it didn't take long and we were down to 6 and 7. And when I came into church here, listen to me, I remember praying, "God, I pray for 400. Listen to me. I got 40 and I thought, "Dear Lord, people's got problems everywhere. Everything's going on." I couldn't imagine that times 10. And then God sent us 60. And I said, "God, I'll pray that you'll send the people in you want in. God, I'll pray that you put the people at Ronda Tabernacle you want to have, whether it's 100, whether it's 1,000. But God, I pray that you give me the wisdom and the knowledge and the patience and the discerning of the Spirit to be able to pastor that congregation." You say, "Preacher, where are you at?" I just want to be in God's will. Whether it's pastoring 30 or whether it's pastoring 200. I just want to be where God is at. I don't want to be in a place of authority. I found out being in authority, listen to me, if you are in authority, you're actually the servant. Man. Listen, I can pick on Rusty because he works there at Light Olive. He reports to me. But there's also 5 others reports to me as well. And my dream, boy, I thought, man, I want to be a lead man. I want to be a supervisor. And I thank God that He allowed me to do that. But I'm going to be honest with you. The happiest I have been has been in the past month and a half when I ain't been there. Now, I'm going to say this. I hear people say it all the time. "Well, preacher, Dr. Whitaker told me after my surgery and after my right hand, he says, well, when you're scheduled to go back to work and it's at the end of this month, and we were getting ready to do surgery on the left hand, he said, 'Aren't you the boss man?' I said, 'Look, that's not how this works. You're misunderstanding. You see, if I don't keep Rusty happy, Rusty becomes a disgruntled employee. If I don't keep Rusty happy, Rusty's going to go to HR and file a complaint. Or, he'll call the Light Off hotline and leave an anonymous tip." So, Ty, you know what I thought about doing? Is if I find out that somebody is disgruntled and they call and leave an anonymous tip that I've been mean to them, listen to, you wouldn't believe how upset people get over vacation days and sick days. I mean, boy, they get, Brother Bill, they get fighting mad over that. But Brother Odin, I know you're in the same position. I thought, you know, if HR ever investigates me, I'm going to call the anonymous tip line and leave a complaint on the employees. They won't listen to me. "You don't understand. Who is this? I'm leaving anonymous," but he don't listen. As pastoring a church, everybody thinks, listen to me, I'm sick of pastors up to here. Pastors that pastor a church that won't sweep the floor, won't clean the toilets, won't clean up after people, don't need to be the pastor. Listen. The pastor is not the authority of the church. God is. And as a pastor, you're an under-shepherd of the church. And the deacons are the under-shepherds of the church. And the deacons are supposed to help feed and take care and minister to the widows. That's why they appointed the deacons.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Right.
I mean, you go back to look at Acts, you'll find that they appointed 7 because the preachers couldn't wait on tables and couldn't minister to the widows. And they needed to spend time in the Word of God to preach. And so they appointed 7. And made them deacons under the church. The deacons are not to run the church.
Right.
Can I get an amen?
Right, amen?
I just popped the Southern Baptist right there and made him mad.
Yes, you did.
The deacons in the Southern Baptist church say they run the church. The preacher's just called the preacher. Absolutely not. God runs the church and the people run the church.
Amen.
Y'all right?
Right.
In people want a place of authority. Pastors think they're dictators. I don't like you, you leave. I don't want you, you leave. I don't want this, you leave. Listen to me, honey. I'm going to say this. What people need to understand is a pastor couldn't be a pastor if he didn't have people.
Amen.
Y'all all right? I told Rusty, I said, this is going to be a humdinger this morning when he come by. Now listen. But the people of the church are not to run the deacons and the preacher of the death. Listen, I'm going to share something with you. I hear this a lot. Brother Bill, he's the same way. When Miss Evelyn was in the hospital, he didn't want to tell me because he didn't want to worry me. He didn't want me to run up down the road. And I appreciate that. Some of you been in the hospital, had 8 bypass surgery, new heart transplant, new lungs, and you had a brain transplant, and you didn't tell me till 6 months later because you're like, oh, preacher, I didn't want to worry you. Listen to me. I want to know something's going on. But it's the preacher's job to go and visit. Miss Evelyn, Brother Bill told me she was in Wilkesboro that time. I wanted to go visit. I tried to make it down to Winston, and we couldn't get our times exactly right. Brother Odine, when Miss Jane was in the hospital, I wanted to come by, and Zella May and Geraldine and different ones that are in here in the hospital. But I want to say this to you. The church is really a family.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Everybody ought to get along. But you've got people that desire a place of power, a place of position, a place of popularity, a place of entitlement. And listen to me, I want to say this. What they didn't even know is what they were asking for Jesus is what people would be asking for them. They thought they would be happy with entitlement. They thought they would be happy with power. They thought they would be in charge and people would look up to them because they would be on the right and the left. And then the Scripture teaches us a little bit later down, Brother Rusty. It says when the other 10 heard about it, they got disgruntled. It started something in the 12. Brother Chuck, it got some feelings arise. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus looked at Peter and said, you'll deny me thrice for the cock crows. And Peter says, I'll not deny you, Lord. I'll go all the way with you. All the disciples said, oh, we'll stay with you. When they came in the Garden of Gethsemane to take Christ out, they scattered. Peter was seen 3 times, and 3 times Peter denied Christ. You know what happens when some start to ascend to authority? Others begin to get jealous. Others begin to get offended. Why didn't they pick me? Well, I had the skills and the trade. How many of y'all ever heard that on the job? Come on, be honest. We in Wilkes County. Some of y'all, God bless some of y'all. Y'all work at a perfect place. Let me know where you work at so I can come mess it up. But you've heard that. Why did they pick him? Why did they pick her? Heard it in churches. Well, the preacher hangs out with them more. It's like me and Timmy said a long time ago. I had a fellow got upset with me not a long time ago. He said I had new friends. Got upset with me. Me and Timmy Benton's been friends for a long time. Timmy was a young man back in the day. Whether y'all believe, Ty, whether you believe it or not, your daddy was young. And I joined Rhonda Fire Department right out of high school. And the only man that would take me in a house fire was Timmy Benton. And I developed a relationship with Tim through the fire department. And then I'd surrender to the call to preach. And next thing I know, I got to know Tim, got to know Matthew and Maria. And I was at the First Baptist as an interim pastor. Then I left First Baptist after about a year. Went back to my home church where Dad was at, worked with the youth again. And then Brother Johnny called me, come down here to the tabernacle and preach. And I said, sure. Next thing I know, I've been here 9 years. Timmy is my friend. And we're good buddies. I could count on him. If my heat pump went dead right now, I could call Timmy and he'd leave and go to my house and make sure I had heat and air. I know that. If I needed anything, when I wrecked the four-wheel and broke my hips, Tim was at the hospital. I know this. But you know what's amazing? I don't have to talk to him every day. I don't have to talk to him for 2 weeks, and guess what? He's still my buddy. And I don't talk to him at all. But it raises feelings of people. They see somebody getting close to somebody, and boy, they get just all bent out of shape. The disciples got all bent out of shape. I love Rusty, and I work with Rusty, and I love Brother Paul and Gwen, but I can be friends with Gwen, and I'll talk to him in 6 weeks, and he's still my buddy. Brother Bill and Blake, I ain't seen Blake in forever. He's been out of town working, but he's still my buddy. And Brother Chuck, same way, and all you others. But people start talking. You know what worst thing happens in a church? Is somebody gets jealous of somebody in the church.
Right.
Listen to me. Somebody gets jealous of somebody in the church. And then they start talking amongst themselves. And then what happens is you have a click here, a click there, and a click there. Listen to me. The church is not a place for cliques. The disciples was not a place for cliques. Everybody ought to be in fellowship. Everybody ought to be a family. Everybody ought to be in love. The deacons have a place to work. The preacher has a place to work. And they desire all these things. But you know what the problem was? Here's the problem along with our society. People desire power. The Bible teaches us in the Gospel of Luke, he says, what profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What profits anybody if they gain a position, if they gain more finances, but they die and go to hell? What profit is it? What profit is it? If you make all the money in the world and you die and go to hell, what have you accomplished? You know what you've accomplished? You've accomplished a fight for your family after you're gone. For land, home. You've accomplished that. What do we accomplish by rising to a place of authority? Jesus was telling them they're going to drink of the cup. You know what a lot of people want? They want to be Christians and everything go great. Notice what he says. He says, can you drink of the cup that I drink of? They said, yeah. Everybody wants to be a Christian on the sunny days. But they don't understand there's hard days. I got to thinking about all this and a quote come to mind. I read it in my wife's Bible. A skilled sailor is not made on smooth seas. Brother Joe, I believe you'd agree with that. Rachel's in the Coast Guard. She has not developed her trainings and able to navigate that boat by sailing on smooth seas. A skilled sailor is not developed by just sailing when everything is calm. I got to thinking about that, and then we got ready to come to church Wednesday night. How many, or it may have been Thursday, I can't remember, I was watching this. When did Michael come through and pour down the rain? Thursday? It started Wednesday and left out Thursday, right? I was watching the news Thursday, and boy, they were showing the Yakin River down here at Yakin Park. You may watch WXI, Lion Laney. She gets it wrong every time, but she's still got a job. They had that little lady down here at the park at Elkin. And, man, I had studied on this thought, and I went back to it, and I thought about that saying, a skilled sailor is not made on smooth seas. And I thought about that, and she's out there talking about how it's flooded, Brother Chuck. And they got the camera pointed at her, and she's a point, and she's showing all this, and they got it zoomed in on her. And there's a guy on a kayak. Anybody see this same clip I did? There's a guy on a kayak behind her. And she's talking about how bad the current is, how dangerous the water is, and he's out on a kayak, and he's got his fishing rod, and he casts. And I'm watching it. And she's talking about the dangers of flooded waters. And this guy, I mean, the camera, he's right behind him. And I don't know if this guy had a clue what was going on or not. But they're talking about how dangerous the water is. And the next thing I see him do, y'all bear with me a minute. The next thing, Brother Odin, I see him do is he's sitting on that kayak. He's got his life jacket on. He does this with his life jacket. Right behind her. And I mean, she's just a-talking. And then the next thing you see is he stands up on the kayak. And all of a sudden the camera goes. Y'all right if I say this? You can't fix stupid. Listen to me. The reason I come and preach is to warn you of the dangers. But you wouldn't believe of how many Christians are asking for something and they ain't even got a clue. They're right in the... Listen to me. That guy, he was out there and he had his fishing rod and he stood up and he cast it and the camera panned away. And when it came back, he's standing up on like it's a paddleboard going up the river. And I'm like, here she is talking about how dangerous it is. And he's out here right behind the camera. How many people are sitting at home saying, well, he ain't listening to it. But you know what? I wonder how many are sitting in the churches and preachers are preaching. And the camera's on them and God's watching them and the preacher's preaching. And the preacher's trying to give them some help. And they're just ignoring it. They're just ignoring it. Jesus told them, said, you ain't got a clue what you're asking for. I wonder how many sitting in our churches ain't got a clue what they're asking for. They're asking, but they have no clue what they're praying for. They don't know. Listen to me, honey. It's like I told my wife. We've prayed for a child, and that's going to come in time. I said, but right now, God knows we can't handle it. Whether it's finances, whatever the reason, God knows we can't handle it. And in God's time, He will answer. Preacher, God ain't answered my prayer. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Listen, God just knows you can't handle it right now. Preacher, I prayed for that loved one that died with cancer that God would heal him. And God never... Yeah, He did heal him. They just graduated on to glory.
Amen.
Can I say this to you this morning? I like the song, Just a Little Talk with Jesus, because that's about what we spend with Him. Just a little talk. What happened to the days when we'd sing a sweet hour of prayer? Instead of having just a little talk with Him, we spent time with Him. Can I say this to you this morning? These young men had no clue what they were asking for. They had discussed it amongst themselves. They even got mama involved. Can I say this to you this morning? We got too many mama boys and girls in the house of God. They're riding on mom and daddy's coattail, hoping they're going to get in. Praying that what mama says will get them through. Listen to me, I'm going to say this. Every person in here, you're an individual person. You're going to give an account before God. I'm going to give you some thoughts and I'm done. These men want a position of power. Men think being in charge puts them in power when truly it does not. Men are concerned with what it looks like. Men are concerned with what people think. How many of you have ever heard that saying, I don't care what people think? Sure you do. You need to care what people think. Because some of you are the only Bible that some are ever going to see. The Bible teaches us, if we notice these things, these men wanted to be in a position of power and authority. Matthew 16:26 says, for what has been man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? The Bible teaches us not only there, but if you'll go with me this morning, back in Samuel, when Samuel came to the house of Jesse, when he was picking out the new king that was to succeed Saul, brought all the brothers in, left David in the field. And Samuel, God told Samuel, He said, look. He said, man looks on the outward appearance. Listen to me. I'm going to help you, some of y'all right here. Man looks on the outward appearance. It helps me, Ty, when my wife tells me I look good. Timmy, don't it help you? Daddy? Brother Bill, it encourages you. Miss Evelyn say, you're still pretty, doesn't she? Brother Paul, you ain't heard that in years, and I don't think it's going to change. No, I'm teasing. But it encourages you. How many of you ladies does it encourage you when your significant other, your husband, your spouse says, boy, you sure do look good? You know, my wife don't tell me, Brother Chuck, a whole lot that I look good. But one thing I have got down pat, Brother Kenny, is she says, you smell good. That helps me. At least I'm doing something right. How many of you men this morning, if you was to be honest, your wife comes out and she says, how does this look? And you just sit there. Because if you know that it says that looks terrible, you're going to upset her. You're going to hurt her feelings. You're going to bother her. And how many of you have actually lied before and said, oh, that looks great. That looks wonderful. Knowing the whole time in the back of your mind, man, I don't know about that. But If a person is seeking that, there's issues. And I want to come to church and I want to look good. I'm coming to God's house. I wear a suit and tie because I want to give God the best. I take it serious. And I want to look good when I come to the house of God. But can I say to you this morning, in all honesty, it's not what's on the outside. The Bible teaches us that God looks on the heart. And what's on the inside? Can I say this to you? When a lost person comes in, I don't expect them to wear a dress. I don't expect them to wear a tie. I don't expect them. I'm just glad they come to the house of God. If the heart change happens, the outward change will happen. They will clean up. Listen to me, we spend too much time trying to clean up because we're worried about what people think. My wife, we were at the beach and we'd get in a hurry, Brother Bill, and she'd be doing her face. She don't want people to see her without her face on, her makeup. And Brother Wynn, we were going out one evening and she didn't get her whole face on. She just put something on. And somebody told her, said, "Oh, that makeup looks great." And she's like, "This really? This is the least I have ever worn." She wants to look her best. She don't want Paul Benton to come to our house at 6 o'clock in the morning and her still asleep and him wanting to come visit and her hair all messed up and mine all messed up. Y'all want to see me without my face on. It's bad. But we look our best because of what's on our heart. Can I say this to you this morning and I'm done? I'm thankful I serve a God who looks in here. And even when I pray some prayers that, Brother Paul, that should never be prayed, He knows what I have in here. And even when I can't pray, and sometimes I just sit and cry, or sometimes I just sit and bow, He already reads what's in here and He says, "You know what? I know what Josh needs. I know exactly what Rhonda Tabernacle needs. I know exactly what his family needs." If I was to answer that prayer that he's praying so foolishly for right now, it would hurt his home. It would hurt his family. It would hurt his ministry. It would hurt Brother Rusty because God knows I couldn't handle for some of those prayers right now. You say, but preacher, why? Because God loves you. And he don't want to see any of his people get messed up. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as Miss Jody comes.